Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, today, a very special guest, as they all are to me, because I don't interview people that aren't special. Okay, well, enough of that. Our guest is Chester Elton, co-founder, best-selling author of All In, The Carrot Principle, and the newest book that is just out this week, The Best Team Wins. And he has a wonderful book that is out right now that we're going to talk about today. And I think, first of all, let me just say welcome, Chester Elton, to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Alan. Always a pleasure.
I did a little bit of homework on you, and it seems to me that you got a lot going on, brother. I mean, your books are translated into 30 languages with over 1.5 million copies sold, best-selling New York Times, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, leadership books, and I want to look into you even deeper after we're done. But my thing is, my producers come to me, and they have, I mean, there's some amazing human beings in this world, and I get to interview many of them, and I feel like you're another one of these. So we're going to donate. How about that? We're going to that's not the right word, but we'll just say it anyway. We're going to give you a whole hour because I think you have something very important to share. And we'll call them what you call them, five disciplines. Can we just start out the show a little differently than normal and have you give us these five disciplines up front, and then we'll dissect them as the show goes on? Is that fair?
Well, sounds like a plan. Yeah. By the way, you're very kind, that introduction there. You know, my mother writes those bios for me, so I'm glad that she got that to you.
Fair enough. Good.
Yeah, no, Adrian Gosick is my co-author, and our new book, The Best Team Wins, is all about the new science of high performance. Mm. And as we delved into, you know, great workplaces and so on, we just found that most of the things that you learned about running teams in this new, ever-changing digital world really didn't apply anymore. So the five disciplines, or the five ahas that we got, and by the way, from 850,000 engagement surveys and 50,000 motivators assessments that we have online is where we culled this from. So
wow.
Very deeply rooted in research, which is always reassuring. But yeah, just in quick rank order is understanding generations, you know, how to engage millennials, Gen Xers, boomers, and diverse work teams, you know, not just gender and race, but, you know, background, language, and culture, and so on. Our second one was manage to the one. And as we delve deep into that, it was a story that came up when I was doing a presentation in England. And I'll sum it up by saying, give the man his guitar, a little teaser there. And then the third one is speed to productivity, you know, how you hire, get people on your team and bring them up to speed. We don't have as much time as we used to have in traditional teams. And how do you do that to get them, you know, working faster and smarter? My favorite chapter is challenge everything, creating a culture where you can be innovative and have crazy ideas and not be ridiculed or feel like you're putting your career in jeopardy. And then lastly, we do all this so we don't forget the customer. You know, we're doing this to create a great customer experience, to attract new customers, keep our valued customers, and grow our businesses. So does that make sense?
Don't forget the customer. Okay, I wrote those down. It helps me tremendously to write these things down as we go. It does make sense. And now we're going to start with the first one, understanding generations. And oh boy, this is an important one with multi-generational workplaces that we have these days. And, you know, guys that are 60 and young people that are 20 working side by side, and sometimes the 20-year-old is smarter than the 60-year-old. Not because he's smarter in, you know, schooling or whatever, but just because the world is a changed place from when the 60-year-old guy, myself, by the way, almost, was, you know, I mean, I had a paper route. There's hardly newspapers anymore to throw. I mean, it's all digital today. So it's a different world, and young people are born with these tablets or iPhones or whatever in their hands. And, you know, I mean, I used to have to get up. My dad would say, can you turn the channel? I'd have to get up and go over and actually turn the channel on the television. You know, now the television's in your hand, you know?
Exactly. So, well, you make a great point, Alan. It's all about communication.
Yeah.
How do you communicate with these different generations? There's five generations in the workplace, and pretty soon the six, you know, with the Gen Z, or I'm Canadian, we would say Gen Z. And it is all about, you know, good team leaders kind of understand there are differences on the team and you need to communicate differently. The extraordinary leaders really do that one-on-one thing. How do you want to be, how do you want me to communicate with you? Is it text? Is it in person? Is it digital? Is it live? Is it with a team? Is it, you know, in video bits? And because of that, it's never been harder to be a team leader because you've got so much diversity. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to do all that. Well, the extraordinary leaders, you know, find the time and make sure that they know exactly how to communicate to each generation. You know, you and I were different than our parents. The kids that are coming into the workplace are going to be different than us. If you don't make those exceptions, you're going to leave a lot of productivity on the table.
Ooh, all right, hang tight. This is really important stuff. Extraordinary leaders take the time to learn this stuff. He said that. I got it. We're going to take a whole hour here with Chester Elton. His brand new book just out, The Best Team Wins. Do you want to be an extraordinary leader? And you want to be a part of that best team right here on Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
All right, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I am Alan Taylor. This is a part of Entrepreneur Magazine. So make sure you pick up Entrepreneur Magazine at newsstands everywhere and check out entrepreneur.com. You can find our podcast, which is this radio show, after it has been broadcast. They spend a little extra time on it, remove the commercials, and post it for 24/7 download at entrepreneur.com. We're talking with Chester Elton, his new book just out. He is the co-author. Tell me your co-author's name again, Chester.
Adrian Gostick.
And The Best Team Wins. We were talking about understanding generations. We have such a multi-generational workplace these days. And look at me. I work with every age from the 20s and actually, you know, my children when they're in their teens. My son, whose birthday was Valentine's Day, just turned 30 years old, has been working for me since he was about 16. And so, you know, truthfully, I felt that he was an asset to me the whole time, helped me to better understand the generation that he was in. And, you know, I'm a boomer, so my generation, we think we're smart. I mean, I think we all think we're smart, but our particular generation, I know you're in that same generation. So let's stick with that just for another couple of minutes. Are there any tips, any disciplines in understanding generations like this?
Yeah, you know, the biggest question is the millennial generation, because they're the biggest portion of the workforce, and in a few years are going to be 75% of the workforce. And so we looked into the data and said, look, when it comes to key motivators for millennials, what are they? Now, you know, you want to be careful not to pigeonhole people. So these are the trends. The biggest difference that we found was the fact that millennials, sure, they want to know what you do and how you do it, but they want to know the why, the meaning of their work. You know, we looked at the top three motivators for millennials in the workplace. It was impact. How am I making an impact? How am I changing the world? How am I making the world a better place? Learning was really high. How am I growing and developing? Have I got a career path? You know, is there progression? And then interestingly was family. You know, we talk about work-life balance, which I don't think you can have, by the way. I think you look for work-life harmony. And they're looking for this harmony, you know, that my work isn't my entire life, which, you know, as boomers, work was our lives. You know, you worked hard, you stuck with a company, you got promoted, and that was what was most important. We didn't change jobs that often. But millennials are changing jobs now every year and a half, two and a half years, because they're looking for meaning. So that was a big aha in our research, is giving meaning to work.
Wow.
What do you think?
Well, no, I think it's very interesting because, look, I'm closing in on 60 real fast, and I don't remember thinking this way. I don't remember looking for, you know, the opportunity to make the world a better place or what my why was. I just wanted to make money. I wanted freedom. I wanted a car, you know?
Exactly.
And I think that our children, who are these millennials, are looking at things differently because as we grew up, you and I, Chester, we started to find our why. We started to find that work-life harmony, or at least search for it anyway, because I think you're right. So many people are looking for, you know, the balance, but man, I have not heard anybody say that, you know, that it should be a harmony. And it is, because it's like right now, my wife, who's my business partner and 32 years of being married, 37 together, we're trying to find that same harmony. I don't believe it can be a balance right now because we are so busy. I'm a serial entrepreneur. And then her mother passed away and she's the executor of her estate. And so all of a sudden, wow, she inherited a business. So all of a sudden, you know, and she's about to be a grandma. That we have to find harmony because there is no balance anymore. It's just on us all the time. My God, this
You're
is
right.
good stuff.
You know, and but the thing on the meaning, I think, is so critical. You know, I work with the guys at Golden Corral, you know, the best buffet in the USA.
Right.
And it's really interesting when I look at, you know, how do you attract people to work in restaurants? It's hard work. It's long hours. You know, you've got, you know, customers that are demanding and the whole bit.
Hold that thought. We got to take a break. I'm going to get run over by a train called a commercial. For you podcast listeners, you won't have to hear a commercial. But for the radio stations, we got to pay the bills. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back with more Chester Elton. Stay with us.
This is our life. This is our song. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Once again with Chester Elton. He is the co-author of the book, The Best Team Wins. By the way, you can find him and his other books at Carrot Guys. Just like carrot, like you eat a carrot in a salad. CarrotGuys.com. Why? Because he also wrote the book, The Carrot Principle. We're going to ask about that. And All In. These books have been translated into 30 languages and 1.5 million copies sold. Number one bestsellers. You were just talking about Golden Corral, and I cut you off because of a commercial. Finish that thought, please.
Well, this idea of nobility of work. And you say, okay, well, we prefer, you know, we provide great food at an affordable price. But they've made a real commitment to military families, which is really interesting. That's their why. That's their give back. They found that, you know, there were a lot of charities for the warriors and so on, but not a lot for the kids of the warriors. And so in 2011, they rented out a YMCA camp, and they brought 350 service families, kids, to come to camp for a week for free, just so they could be kids.
That's awesome.
You know, since the wars in Iran and Iraq, there's 2 million kids have had their parents serve for at least a year or more in Iran and Iraq, and they come back and they're wounded and issues and so on. So get this. So 7 years later, they have almost 4,000 kids going to 23 camps around the country. And the way they raise the money is in their restaurants with their staff, you know, say, you know, put a buck in a bucket so a kid can go to summer camp. Well, that noble cause just drives all kinds of engagement and purpose behind their work. Sure, they're serving great food and they're creating a great experience. Over and above that, they're serving the children of military families. I mean, who can't get behind that?
I agree. By the way, I'm looking at this, you guys, Chester Elton is co-founder of The Culture Works, a global training company, and is a board member of Camp Corral, a nonprofit for children of the wounded and fallen military heroes. That's what you're talking about right now. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great cause, and I'm really honored to be on their advisory board. Just good people, you know, and that's the point, right, Alan? There are good people doing good things all over the world. Sometimes you don't get that with your news feed on your phone.
Right.
You know, you think the world's going to hell in a handbasket, but there really are a lot of good people doing a lot of good things.
Yep. All right. Well, talking about the new book, The Best Team Wins, and these five disciplines that Chester Elton just talked about, understanding generations, manage to the one, speed to productivity, challenge everything. Don't forget the customer is the last one. We're walking through. We talked about understanding generations. Very helpful. And I have a better understanding. All right, let's move to manage to the one.
Yeah, the subtitle in this chapter is my favorite. It's Give the Man His Guitar. And the story behind that is I was presenting in England, Tesco, you know, the giant grocery store chain. And I said, how many leaders are you bringing into this meeting? I was talking to Matt Davies, their CEO. And he said, oh, 9,000.
Oh, man.
They have 300,000 employees in the UK. He says, we're bringing in 9,000. He says, we're going to have an arena. It's going to be a great thing. And I'd work with them at other organizations where we'd brought in their managers and so on. He says, I want you to do the recognition thing, the carrot thing. So I was working with his team, and you know, we like to have a lot of fun when we present. You know, we throw Frisbees into the crowd, and we give people fuzzy carrots, and we pull them up on stage. And their team said, oh, you can't do that. You know, there's 9,000 people. You'll embarrass people, and you don't want to put people on the spot. And they went through my presentation literally like a dozen times to the point where I almost said, look, anybody can do this. Like, I'll just give you the slides. You do it.
Right.
I don't know why you're hiring me, because this is what Matt wants. Well, I was talking to the producer, and I said, here's the problem, you know, Carl. They don't want me to do my thing. He goes, I got you covered. He says, bring it all. You'll be fine. I said, well, what's your pitch? He said, I'm going to say, let the man have his guitar. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, you wouldn't hire Bruce Springsteen to come entertain and say, oh, by the way, you have to sing a cappella.
Right.
And that's the point, is that on these new teams, you can't treat everybody the same. That's old school. New school is know your team. Know the generational differences, but know what motivates each one on your team. What are their, you know, traditions and backgrounds, language backgrounds and different things, because you've got remote employees, you've got part-time employees, you've got gig employees, you know, that just come in for a short period of time. Yeah. And if you don't take the time to understand the differences and really manage to the individual, you're going to be in trouble, and you're going to leave a lot of productivity on the table, as we say.
Man, love this stuff, man. I love it. Chester Elton, everybody. Carrot Guys. Why carrotguys.com? I mean, that's kind of an interesting website name.
Well, you know, our first, you know, big hit book was The Carrot Principle. A really simple premise. You know, when you find somebody doing something great, you give them a reward. You give them a carrot as opposed to a stick.
Right.
Well, Adrian and I both grew up in Canada, and the Toronto Globe and Mail dubbed us the Apostles of Appreciation. And so with the Carrot Guys and the Apostles of Appreciation, it just seemed to make sense.
That's too funny. That is too funny. All right, hang tight. We're going to take another little break. We're going to come back with three more of these principles from the book, The Best Team Wins, Chester Elton. And next up, Speed to Productivity. I love what I'm hearing. The millennials, they want to know the why. How to make the world a better place. Manage to the one. Know your team. You know, sadly, people become numbers. They become just almost like a computer. You have to have a heart in everything you do. If you don't, you're not going to last. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We've got plenty more to go right after this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we have a best-selling author on the phone, Chester Elton. Several books, All In, The Carrot Principle, and his newest, just out this week, The Best Team Wins. Chester, can you tell me just a little bit about why you wrote this particular book? And just, there's always a story behind it. What was the genesis of all this?
Yeah, no, great question. You know, we started our work in recognition with the Carrot Principle, and we saw some great results on that data when people felt appreciated, good things happened at work. We very quickly figured out that, though, if you didn't get the culture right, the recognition didn't matter. And so that's when we wrote the book All In. It's all about creating that corporate culture. The next logical step for us was, well, you know, in the best cultures we studied, they had the right people in the right jobs doing not just what they were good at, but what they were passionate about. And we wrote a book called "The What Motivates Me, Put Your Passions to Work." And in that book, we had an online assessment where you could rank order your motivators, your passions at work. And then the sequence to that was, well, you know, to execute on the cultural promise and to really do what you're passionate about, every organization has smaller teams, and each team had its own culture. And and they were charged with delivering on the promise of the organization, whatever that might be, right? Innovation or products and services and so on. And so that's when we took a deep dive into the individual teams, sort of where the rubber hits the road. And then we kind of came full circle. We didn't ever find a great team that didn't celebrate their successes. So it brought us back to the carom. So it kind of completed the circle for us.
Mm. What was the biggest aha from your research and data to get these all this information and these five disciplines put together for the book, The Best Team Wins?
Yeah, that's such an insightful question. I love that question because as we looked at the teams, and clearly the team leader is the key, you know, sets the tone, puts out, you know, what is acceptable behavior and what isn't. And I'll tell you what we found, Alan, is that good team leaders were technically proficient, right? They knew their jobs, they knew what to do and how to do it. The extraordinary leaders had tremendous soft skills.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is they were able to create a culture where people knew that they were valued, their opinions mattered, their voices were heard, and there was a relationship. Now, if you think back to your career, some of the best leaders that you worked for, the ones that you admired the most, I'm willing to bet any money in the world that you also had a personal relationship with. You respected them, you cared for them, and you didn't want to let them down. Am I right?
100% correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a great story for you if we've got a quick minute. These are principles that don't work just on Earth, but they work in space.
Okay, let's hear it.
I was speaking up at a conference in southern Alberta, and they had these astronauts there. One was Buzz Aldrin, which was very cool. You know, the second man to step on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that I met that really made an impression on me was Chris Hadfield. He's actually a Canadian astronaut, and he was the commander of the International Space Station. It was so fascinating because here were six guys that went up to the International Space Station for 6 months. Three Russians, two Americans, and the Canadian in the middle there. And they trained for over 10 years before they went up. So as he talked about how he built his team, multi-generational, different cultures, different languages, he did some amazing things. He moved to Russia. He learned how to speak fluent Russian.
Wow.
Right? So there'd be no communication barriers. How cool is that?
Yeah.
He said, but we knew all the rules because you break the rules in space, you die, right?
Right.
And so we were very good about knowing what we had to do and how to do it. And we're all really smart. He says, but we also got to know each other's families and our passions and what we loved and what we didn't love. He said, we exceeded every goal that we set. It was one of the most productive 6 months in NASA's history up in the space station. And he said, yes, it was because we were smart and we were well-trained. But he says, I'm convinced that the reason we did so well was we had one unwritten rule. And it was this, that every astronaut had to perform one random act of kindness for every other astronaut every day.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
No, it's beautiful.
See, that's beautiful. That's a soft skill.
Yeah, right? No, it's fascinating. Yes, but beautiful, better, right?
Yeah, and you know what I love about it? I said, so what do you mean? He says, well, because we did that, we never had a heated argument, we never had people's feelings hurt, we never had this contention. He said, and it's culture, right? It's what you do every day, and those little random acts of kindness, stuff like I'll clean up, or you know, let me cook dinner, or let me help you with the calculations. He said the message every day was, I care about you. I'm cheering for you. You're on my team, and I love you. And he said it made all the difference. I love that story.
Well, I got to tell you, I got to take a break with that one. That was just too good. I can't even put business back in that realm for a moment. That was just beautiful for life itself. If we could do that more with our families, our friends, and in business, our lives would be better. We're talking with Chester Elton. I love this guy. We're going to take a break, come back, and we'll hit up speed to productivity next here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Number one best-selling business author, had a hard time saying that, organizational culture, employee engagement, and leadership expert, Chester Elton. The book, brand new, brand spanking new, off the press, The Best Team Wins. And this is not, this whole interview, by the way, we get like 5 questions that we are asked to ask, and I sometimes ask them, sometimes I don't. I have the autonomy from Entrepreneur Magazine to ask whatever I want, to do however I please with my guests. And sometimes it's a hot mess, and this time I think it's a wonderful, wonderful conversation with a very sweet art man. And I love your stories. I love what you're doing, and I am all in. I now am going to look into more of Chester Elton and the book All In and Carrot Principle. But this one we're talking about right now, we're going through these 5 disciplines from all this amazing research. And the next one will be Speed to Productivity, Chester.
Yeah, it's how do we onboard people and bring them up to speed faster? You know, and with the speed of business, we don't have, 6 months or a year for people to get integrated. And a lot of it starts with the hiring process. You know, are we hiring for a cultural fit? I think sometimes our resumes and our CVs do us a disservice. It simply tells us what's our experience and our educational background. What I really want is I want a cultural fit. And really good organizations, when they go through this whole hiring process, will let the team interview the candidate as well. Spend some time with them. Spend a lot of time up front and hire for that cultural fit.
Wow.
It helps people get over the fear factor of either moving from an organization or coming from out of college. That familiarity, building relationships before the hire, is really a good practice. And when you think about it, it makes perfect sense, because however you're changing a job, it's traumatic, and there's going to be a fear factor there. Would you agree?
I would. I've never heard anybody do that. I like to do that. I must say I've had some of my employees, actually tell me, I would, say, look, we need to hire somebody. Why don't you see who you can find? And then they vet them out and bring them to me. And I like that. And it's worked sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they last for a little while. Sometimes they leave. Sometimes they come back. But I find that for me, that has been a better way of doing things, which is to allow, instead of me forcing them down my new employee down the throat of my other employees, and make it a team effort. So I'm 100% on board with this one.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting. You know, Danaher, which is a company that most people have never heard of, but incredibly successful, they literally, on the first day, they spend a lot of time with people beforehand. You know, this is our culture. This is our mission, our vision, our values, the big picture. And here's how what you do makes a difference. As opposed to, I'm hiring you for this job.
Right.
I'm hiring you for this company, for this mission. And here's what they do that I think is fascinating. They'll literally sit them down on day one, introduce them to all their, responsibilities and so on. But they'll say, look, here are 5 people in the organization that you need to go spend time with, because they're the people that are going to help you get things done, understand the whole process from beginning to end with our customers, why we do what we do and how we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that from day one, they're inserting them into a network of efficiency and relationships on how to make them successful. Mm. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. What's nice is when you walk into an organization that has this type of culture from the leadership, you feel it immediately. You feel at home.
It's an emotional connection.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Challenge everything. By the way, we're walking through some of these chapters in the new book, The Best Team Wins, and we're right now on Challenge Everything.
Yeah, this is all about innovation, and it's inspiring a healthy discord at work. You don't hear that very much, but we spent some time with Bell Helicopter in designing their next generation helicopters. And their new CEO came in, his name's Mitch Snyder. And he said, listen, I'm going to tell you guys, harmony is overrated. That was a great harmony is overrated.
Uh-huh.
Now, I want healthy discord because I want good ideas. And it's got to be the ideas that win. But it can never be personal. I love that part. He says, debate the idea, not the person.
Mm.
And so he set up this wonderful culture of there are no sacred cows. You can challenge anything. Here's what he did. You'll love this. So Bell Helicopters was famous for like the Huey helicopters in Vietnam and Korea and stuff.
Right.
And he said, look, we've got to have more clever design. So he hired some design engineers from video games and sci-fi movies to come in and spruce up the design. Well, you can guess that the aviation engineers didn't think that was such a great idea, right?
Right.
And they'd sit in their meetings and they'd say, here's the new design. And the graphic guys would say, hey, what if we made it look like this? And the engineer said, nope, won't fly. Well, how about this? Nope, it'll crash. How about this? He said it was like a ping pong ball,
mm-hmm.
but it was healthy discord.
Right.
And as they started to have more conversations to get to know each other better, great ideas came out of that. And their next gen helicopters, literally, they can't keep up with the orders because they stepped out of the box. They challenged the status quo. They brought in new thinkers. It's really an interesting process. It was exciting to watch it.
All right. So from my personal life and dealings, I find you said it's, you know, challenge the idea and not the person, and don't make it personal. It's the idea that, you know, we have to talk about and discuss. And how do you keep people from taking things personally? Because it happened to me the other day. My wife was asking me some questions and I felt like she was disrespecting me because she was asking me what I thought they were like dumb questions. Like, are you kidding me? I actually said to her, are you kidding me? And she was just kind of thinking out loud, and man, Chester, I got pissed off. I'm telling you. I mean, I was, because I was taking it so personal instead of, you know, I mean, I don't know how to get that aha moment where I catch myself and filter the anger, and maybe I was having a bad day or whatever, but it was like, I just came unglued, and we were going to share a lunch, and I go, no, you can just order your own. I'm not going to share.
We
ended up having an argument at 2:30 in the morning until 5:30, until finally, Ken and we both came to grips with what really happened, which was that, you know, both of us weren't being as thoughtful toward the other as we could have been. She could have addressed me a little differently, and I could have reacted a little differently. But that's the biggest problem, I think, in business and life today, is to be able to talk about an idea and not take it personal when a person disagrees.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, one of our favorite business leaders is a guy named Scott O'Neill. And he actually is now the CEO of the 76ers and the New Jersey Devils and the NBA and the NHL. And he's got a really interesting way how you diffuse that. And he approaches it this way. By the way, he builds phenomenal teams, and we actually highlighted the sales team from the Philadelphia 76ers in the book. And he puts it this way. He says, look, if you're on my team, I'm cheering for you. Now, if you're on my team and I can't cheer for you, that's a whole nother discussion. When we're in a meeting and we're debating ideas, once it starts to get personal, you know what he says?
Mm.
He'll say, hey, Alan, I don't get the sense you're cheering for me on this one. that felt a little personal. and people laugh and they go, you're right. You're right. I got personal. So I'm cheering for you now, baby.
That's a paradigm shift, is pull the person, kind of pull their head out of their butt, help them to do it, because we sometimes walk through life with our heads up our own butts, unfortunately. Boy, that's good stuff. All right. The book, The Best Team Wins, and the chapter we're coming to next, Don't Forget the Customer, because you know what? You get so caught up in the whirlwind of thought and business and life and children and friends and cars, you forget about the customer. Not here on Entrepreneur Weekly, we're not. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, before we get to this last Don't Forget the Customer, let us not forget our customer here, which is Entrepreneur, because we want you to visit the website, entrepreneur.com. Pick up a magazine on newsstands everywhere, Entrepreneur, and go check out some of our other podcasts at entrepreneur.com, because we have some great guests like Chester Elton. We're talking about his brand new book, The Best Team Wins, and we have worked our way all the way to Don't Forget the Customer, possibly the most important part of it all, but it's all important anyway. Back to you, Chester. Don't forget the customer.
Yeah, no, and put yourself in the customer's situation, you know. How can you make the experience extraordinary? I mentioned to you a little bit about Scott O'Neill and the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, it's interesting, for a three-year period there, they had the worst winning percentage of any professional sports team ever.
Wow.
And yet, over the last 2 years, they have broken every record in season ticket sales. And you got to ask yourself, how does that happen? Like, it's not hard to sell tickets when your team wins the championship. But what about when your team rarely wins a game?
Right.
How do you do that? And you know what? They focused on the customer experience. And they said, look, how can we make coming to games at our stadium different than anywhere else? And here's what they did. And they got the whole organization to buy into it. They went to the coach, Coach Brown, and he says, you know what? I've been thinking about how to create a better experience. You know, after we go through the game plan and the players go out for their last time to warm up, he says, I've got about 20 minutes. What if we grab some of our season ticket holders, you know, the guys that have seats right on the floor and stuff, and we brought them into the locker room and I went through the game plan with them? Do you think they'd enjoy that?
Mm.
I'm thinking, yeah, I think they would. You know?
Right.
Can you imagine going back to your seat and saying, hey, this is the plan. Here's the substitution. Here's how they're going to defend LeBron. Here's how they're going to do it. Now, for other, you know, fans, say, look, what if we got them to the game early and we got them down on the court so they could watch the players practice up front instead of watching from row 40, giving access to the players, access to the strategy. Mm. It's how they took a team that, you know, last year won 12 games out of 82, and now, you know, they're over 500. There's not a seat to be found. You go to a Sixers game, and I'm telling you, that place is rocking. Mm. So they found a way to take their product and look it through the customer's eyes and create an extraordinary experience. If you can do that, you're going to win.
Love it. Last question, maybe a bit of advice for team leaders out there. After writing this book, what advice would you have? Again, The Best Team Wins is the book, Chester Elton. Advice.
Yeah, well, you know, in the last part of the book, we put in 101 tips for team managers how to engage your teams. I always like to end the conversation, though, by saying, by the way, these are principles that work in the workplace. Don't forget to apply them at home. My favorite stat from all our research was from the University of California, that people that are happy and engaged at work are 150% more likely to be happy and engaged at home. So a bit of advice, you know, work on your soft skills, get to know your people, send them home happy, and it'll ripple through their families. It'll ripple through their personal relationships. And when that happens, they can't wait to come back to work, to give you their best ideas, to give you their best efforts. Good managers understand what they do and how they do it, but the extraordinary managers have those soft skills. They can explain the why. Engage your heart and mind. That would be my last tip.
Beautiful advice. And it's funny because as a team leader, as a CEO of a company, I find that there's like sometimes a little darkness inside of me that is angry. There's an old saying, it says, you know, there's a battle between good and evil. And the little Indian boy says to the Indian chief, you know, what is that? He says, that's the battle between good and evil. And he says, which one wins? He says, the one you feed. And so I think that when we're in bad moods and somebody, one of our employees comes up to us and asks us a simple question and we bark back an answer, if we don't catch that in that moment and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm having a rough day or whatever it is, and become human for a second, then you're feeding the dark side and it's going to win in the end of the day. And that's what you're going to take home to your family. That is what you are going to be, you know, poisoning the well at home with at work. So this is all good advice. TheCultureWorks.com. By the way, that's where you can also find Chester Elton. What do they find there real quick, Chester?
Well, they're going to find all kinds of tools for your team, some great white papers, opportunities to look at motivators assessments, and really make your place where you work even more engaging and more fun than it probably already is.
Good stuff. CultureWorks.com. CarrotGuys.com, if you want to find out more about the books that he has written, All In and The Carrot Principle. The brand new book out, The Best Team Wins. I feel enriched by my time here and my day with Chester Elton. Thank you so much for what you do. Really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, Alan. You call me anytime.
I will, believe me. We'll be back next week with another edition. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. We'll see you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.